Horse Report System is a mobile-friendly web app designed with busy trainers in mind. Coordinate stable management, training logs, and staff and client communication on any phone, tablet, or computer. Add horse demographics, photos, and documents. Assign team members to different horses and easily record training notes, appointments, and care needs. Stop shuffling through notebooks or text messages to find out when a horse last had his hocks injected, who is due for dental work, or how a horse is responding to a new conditioning program. Increase efficiency, accountability, and communication by integrating Horse Report System into your program. See why users love the intuitive dashboard and get a free demo today at horsereportsystem.com. You're listening to the USCA official podcast, which takes you behind the scenes of eventing, covering all the big events, professional tips and tricks, interviews, special guests, and the latest USCA eventing news. Welcome to the USCA official podcast, episode 288. And as promised, listeners, we are heading very quickly into the Tokyo Olympic Games. The eventing kicks off in, this show is out Monday, probably around 10 days time by the time this show comes out. It is Saturday that we're recording this. Jenny Autry and Eric Duvander are with me. Thank you both very, very much for finding the time, because I appreciate things are fairly manic. Jenny, just set the scene, because we're trying to find Wi-Fi. You're at the hotel. It's been raining a lot in Aachen. What's going on?
I mean, I suppose for 2021, it feels fitting that we would have had 2 years worth of rain in about 2 days. So it's actually quite serious here as far as the flooding. And there's been a lot of damage to homes and loss of life. So it's really it's been quite tragic. We feel very lucky that in Aachen, we were spared really of all the flooding, and the horses have all been able to continue training. Pete and Bloodstock is managing the quarantine here at Aachen, and they've been fantastic as far as shuffling arena schedules, really working around the clock to make sure that all the national federations are able to have access to the training that they need. So we feel, even though things have been a bit interesting at times, that we've been able to have a very good quarantine. So very positive vibe in the camp.
Good. Well, we're going to come on to that in quarantine in a little bit more detail in just a moment. But let's rewind a couple of weeks, because we last spoke on a team talk show post Kentucky. Eric, let's catch up on the last couple of weeks. So first of all, I guess, was the final preparation run at Great Meadow. Talk us through that and how it went, and sort of what I guess the aim was from that last run with all of the team horses.
Well, so basically, unfortunately, we don't have a scheduled event that suited in as a final preparation for our horses. So basically, we had to organize our own event, and very kindly, Great Meadow was put forward to us. And Jenny and her team of people rallied around and got the right people on board to help us to produce a pretty good event, I would say. I mean, I've been to Great Meadow before, and I think the quality of this event that we put on ourselves was right up there. We got Ian Stark came out and designed the course, and David and Connor and his team had figured out a new watering system. So the ground was probably better than it's ever been before. We had good dressage judges and a super course designed for the show jumping. So it wasn't about having a little scoot around in the park and just keep everyone happy. It was obviously we rode the Olympic tests. So we got to practice that and got critiqued on that. And then the cross country course was, even the riders said it was more challenging than they expected. And that was part of the plan, because I think they needed to know that they were ready before they shipped over to Aachen. And so Ian did a super job with that. And then the show jump course was just perfectly balanced of what we needed as well. It was a good, clever track. And overall, I must say, hats off to all the riders. We had the selectors gone down and created quite a long list. So we had 12 horses there, which is quite a big number of reserves when we're competing three horses. And all the riders who turned up, even the 12th man on the list, turned up super focused, well prepared, and everyone did a super job. So when we left there, I was feeling like we're leaving a lot of very nice combinations behind when we go to Aachen, but it's now becoming a very competitive environment, and that's what we want. And so for next time, if people want to make teams, they have to push themselves even further, because it is going to be very competitive in the future.
Yeah, and actually putting everybody in that environment, you know, it makes everybody that bit hungrier, doesn't it? And it helps keep everybody on their toes, which is, you know, helps build the performance and the confidence heading into Tokyo. Before we talk about sort of the logistics journey of getting horses out to quarantine, Eric, just a word on the Olympic dressage test, because it is a new test. It's been developed for the Olympics. I understand it is pretty fast and furious. What is your take on it?
Well, we never think of dressage as fast and furious, but it is what they've done is they compressed the test down to 4 minutes, and it's for the logistics of how to run Olympic format. And I actually really like it. So actually, there's no movements that we can't do. There's some lines that we haven't done before, but it's all been sort of practiced before. But the intensity is quite high, so the difficulty is raised by higher intensity of movements. And which means basically what I'm saying is if you miss a movement, that you're already into the next movement. So if you make a mistake, it's going to have a spiraling effect on what you do through the next few movements. So it needs to be practiced. It's every time you put a new test out there, you can practice it at home and so on, but it's also very much knowing what the judges are looking at. And we've had a fair bit of help now. We had the third person's input with Martin Pleiber out here in Germany, and he is possibly one of the best, and he gave us incredibly good instructions, or we've had good instructions. So I think the clarity of how to ride the test is there, and we still have quite a few more days before show day, so we're not probably going to ride the whole test, but we're going to use parts of the test and really fine-tune what the weakest areas for different horses are and keep nutting away on that. But overall, I think it is a good test.
It'll be very interesting to see how it rides, and I know a number of teams have been really focused on it, and I know yourselves included, getting some input from top members of grand juries from all over the world to get their take on it, as well as to how it will be judged and how it sort of presents to a judge as well. Jenny, let me ask you, so the logistics side of things, getting six horses, because you've got six combinations from the US heading or in Aachen for quarantine. What was the process for that, and where did they go via and through, and when did they arrive? How long have you been in quarantine already?
So it's actually seven horses, because Boyd Martin also has his direct reserve horse here.
Course.
So
yep.
definitely a bit of a project to get them all over. We were very lucky to be able to use Gladstone, the USET Foundation headquarters, as well as USCF offices are there as well in New Jersey. And that was used as a loading point to be able to bring all the horses together, do one final vet check with our vet, Dr. Susan Johns, and just being able to stage the equipment, complete final paperwork, all the pieces that go into flying horses overseas. And so we were able to get everyone together on July 7th. So we've already been on this journey for quite a while, but that's when it all started. And coming into Aachen, it ended up being a bit earlier than we had originally anticipated as far as coming into quarantine, but that was the way that the horse flights worked. And of course, the horses had a deadline of 11 a.m. on July 11th to be into quarantine. And so working with Peden and the Duda Corporation, we ended up booking the flight to give us a buffer just in case there were any delays, so that we weren't pushing up against that deadline for the horses to enter quarantine. But I'm thrilled to say that it all went extremely smoothly. We so enjoy working with Peden, and due to those teams are just world-class and make our jobs much easier. And of course, the horses have fantastic care when they're flying and traveling. And I'd also say that Roger Gellison has been the longtime transporter of our horses in Europe for Team USA, and his team is also just fantastic to work with. So it's been definitely smooth across the board to get the horses here, and they all settled in very well.
That is very, very good to hear. The facilities in Aachen are exceptional, Eric, and it's always a place that I guess is fairly inspirational as well. What is the current routine in quarantine, and what sort of workload are the horses doing at the moment?
Well, it's we had sort of set a schedule, but like Aachen is an incredible facility. It's not a training facility. However, we've been fortunate to be able to use the Deutsche Bank Stadium and done dressage and show jumping in there. So that has been of high value. The hacking and being able to have horses turned out, the normal routines, what we do with event horses, hacking and turnouts and so on is not available. So we've had to be clever about how we planned the schedule every day. And I'll just first say, like, well, we our original plan and the plan all along was to have the horses fit and ready to run on the day we left the USA. So all we had to do was fine tune. So when we arrived, we made sure that the horses had a few easy days. We flew in the riders a little bit later so the grooms could come arrive here and settle in with the horses and hand grace them. And Dr. Johns gave them fluids and got them up to feeling good. And then the riders rolled in a little bit according to the horses' needs. And we started off giving them some light schooling and just getting them back into the swing of things. And then once the horse had a few days of flat work and then the gallop they opened up for us, which is basically less than a third of the cross-country course, but we can run up it and then back again. And it was a little bit twisty and turny, as it is here in Aachen, but it's sort of, in a way, I found that quite good because Tokyo is going to be quite twisty and turny. So having a canter workout instead of just going around a perfectly round and perfect round on the galloping track, it was a little bit, the riders had to ride and maneuver the horses a little bit as well as they got a little bit of a run into the horse's legs and body. So they took a deep breath and got sweaty and hot and so on. But it wasn't a fitness training as such. But that was all calculated. Then we've had Peter Wild out here to work for 2 days in show jumping and Martin Pleva with working through the dressage test. And we did those days staggered. And then this happened just over the last few days. And tomorrow we're giving the horses their last gallop. And unfortunately, with all the rain, we can't go out on the cross-country course, but we can use the big grass warm-up arena. That is a fantastic surface. And so we're getting up early tomorrow morning before anyone else hits the grass. And so we're up at 6:30 tomorrow galloping the horses. And then after that, we'll just ease off them. Monday, the last day, is just a quiet little ride around and just keep the horses happy before they get on the flight.
And have you been doing anything in terms of training for the sort of the hot and humid conditions that are expected in Japan? Obviously, the US horses would be more acclimatized to hot conditions than we are, perhaps some of the UK horses. But have you been doing anything differently, both horse and riders? And particularly, has that continued while you're in Aachen?
Well, I think for our side, I think we haven't overthought it. Our horses have grown up. Most of them will spend many years in the climate in the U.S. And it is hot and humid in Pennsylvania and Virginia and the areas where the horses have been trained. I mean, Doug Payne had a bit of a joke about how his horse was born in Alabama, so he should be fine. So I think that heat is something that our horses are probably more used to than the European nations. Coming out here, there's nothing really you can do. I mean, I heard someone talk about they should ride with rugs and so on, and I don't think that at all, but we haven't done any of that. I actually think it's been a bonus for our horses to come from the heat, come and get a little bit of cooler air, freshen up, and just make sure they're healthy and well and eating and drinking and feeling good about themselves, because we still got one more big trip ahead of us before we are hit with the Olympic Games. So, no, we've just allow the horses to freshen up, even though we've trained them. It's been quite a decent training period here over the last 4 days.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point, actually. What about anything that you are doing on site? I understand final show jumping will be under lights. I've seen a few nations practicing that. Have you been able to do anything to sort of make sure the horses are refreshed? I know plenty of them will have done, but it's not usually something that you get in day-to-day eventing of jumping on a surface under light.
So there is an offer here for us to jump under lights, and we've decided not to do that because we had our horses in Tryon and jumped under lights there, and there is a certain effect. And like just talking to Peter Wild, my own personal experience, and especially with an eventing, when the horses jump their second round, they're a little bit heavy in the legs, obviously after cross country. And when you come in under lights and the brightness of it and so on, actually it picks the horses up. So I think jumping under lights is a positive thing for us in the way it freshens the horses up and the poles are a little bit more glittery and so on. So to overdo it, it's no need for it. All our horses have jumped under lights, and so that's not a major concern for us as such.
Okay, brilliant point. Right, let's talk next steps. Jenny, we're talking on Saturday. This show will be out on Monday. What is the sort of the process and the plan for leaving quarantine? Are you sending a party ahead of the horses? How is that working?
Yes, so we have it all planned out so that things can be prepared ahead of time, so that the horses are arriving and all of the stables will be completely set up and ready to go. So the way that it all is going to work is I'm going first, so I go tomorrow, and I'll be able to go and make sure that all the details are sorted in stabling, so that when our grooms and vet arrive the next day on Monday, then everything will be set up and ready to go, so that when the horses land, everything will be completely organized so that it can be smooth sailing. I will say that the dressage horses have gone ahead of us, which has been very helpful to know how the flight process will go. But it's all gone extremely smoothly. The dressage horses have traveled very well. There is that tech stop in Dubai that takes about 90 minutes. And then the horses have been getting into the venue from the airport in less than 4 hours. So we feel like, yes, it is a very long trip, but it's been tightened up in such a way that we're trying to minimize as much of the travel time on the horses as we possibly can.
And what's the plan in terms of the horses that are traveling? Because obviously, as you say, you've got 7 horses out there. I have to say, we haven't mentioned it yet, absolutely devastated for Liz Halliday-Sharp, who didn't make the trip with De Niro Z. But I've no doubt that we will see them back at future championships. But that means that Tammy Smith and Mybalm are the fourth man, so to speak, and will be the fourth on the team. What is the plan, though, with the other 3 horses? Are any of them traveling? Are they heading straight back to the States? What's happening there?
So on the 19th, all 7 of our horses will go to Liège, and okay, the 4 horses will then load onto the flight for Tokyo. And then the 3 horses who are staying behind will go to Roger Gellison's, and their flight home is on July 22nd.
Okay, so they'll all be heading back fairly imminently.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. I won't lie, I was sneakily hoping from a selfish British perspective that 1 or 2 might divert for Bipton 5-star, but I hope that we'll see plenty at Fairhill at the 5-star in the autumn.
Yes, Maryland 5-star will be the target for many US combinations.
Amazing.
Yes, well, we also have this year, I mean, after the Olympics, we still have a strong focus on ACK and the CCIO and also Boccolo. So that is from high performance, those 3 with or ACK and Boccolo and Maryland's, it's the sort of prime events that we're heading for.
Brilliant. What about, I mean, obviously the Olympic Games are a championships on a whole different level. You know, a lot of people talk about the Olympics. Eric, you've experienced a number of Olympic Games. This is your first one with the US team. What does an Olympics mean? What makes it different? What sets it apart?
Well, it is because it's only every 4th year, and the hype around it, the difficulty of the Olympics is not more difficult, but it is the hype around it, and it is a mental state of how people approach it, and it becomes a very important part of, because anyone who wins in any sport an Olympic medal is forever an Olympic medalist, and that is a very powerful thing. I remember many years ago I spoke to Blythe Tate and I said, what is the best advice you have for anyone who wants to get into the Olympic game or to be a successful rider? And he said, well, win an Olympic gold and then your life is going to be a lot easier. So it is a very powerful thing, and it's a very special thing. So yeah, I think it's not the difficulty of the competition. I think there is more nerves in these the Olympic championships, and there'll be even more nerves into it now with the team of 3 and no discard score. So and I think it's like, I think when you go to the Olympic Games, you do feel you carry the whole country on your shoulders. So it makes it very special and very exciting, but it's no doubt everyone feels the pressure of doing well.
Have you found that there has been more interest from the media and from press going into the Olympic Games than the riders would normally get in sort of the Kentuckys and, you know, traveling into Europe?
Yes, there certainly is always an uptick. I mean, it's the Olympic Games. It is the pinnacle of the sport. But I'd say our most favorite request so far was Forbes magazine interviewing Dr. Susan Johns and Emma Ford. Emma, of course, one of our longtime veteran grooms, and this is actually her last hurrah. She's retiring after this, and Dr. Johns does so much for the horses. We're so, so lucky to have her. So just a heads up that there will be a big spread coming in Forbes magazine for them. So yes, the athletes get their time in the spotlight, but it's very special when we can have the grooms and the vets in the spotlight as well, because obviously none of this would happen without them.
Very well said. For a second there, I thought you might be about to say when Nicole Brown from the USEA official podcast sent a message. You know, I'll take second place behind Forbes magazine. Jenny, from your perspective, it's your first sort of championships as part of the US team as such, as managing director of eventing, but you have been a huge supporter of US eventing. You have been decked out in many a US flag for many other championships. It's going to be a different experience, obviously, in Tokyo. And I appreciate that you will be sort of looking at it really like any other competition, because that's what you have to do. But how are you feeling? Excited? Nervous?
Yeah, Eric and I joke that we have such high energy all the time that we just kind of attack every day with purpose and a mission to accomplish. And we've been on this mission now since I left home on July 5th and I go back on August 4th. So every single day is committed to executing a plan to the very best of our ability to make sure that we can arrive in Tokyo to carry out what we came to do. So I'm honored, extremely honored to be in this role for the team. And I'm just very lucky to have an extremely strong group of athletes, coaches, support staff, and grooms around me who drive me and push me to be better every day.
Oh, well, I'm very, very excited for all of you. And I have no doubt that you will go out there and give it your best shot, 110% all the way across the board. It has been a massive logistical effort. And I'm sure everybody listening to this, we've only, you know, scratched the surface into what has gone in to making this possible and making this journey. But we have loved following on the Team Talk series the journey to Tokyo. And in fact, listeners, I think we had our first show back end of 2020. So go back. We've had five or six now, I think it is, with Jenny and Eric. So thank you both so much for being so generous and so candid and giving everybody a real insight into what it takes to get the event team out to Tokyo to give it their best shot. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for your support, Nicole. We appreciate it.
Oh, and listeners, I hope you have the goosebumps. I hope you have your flags on standby. I hope you've got any kind of alcoholic beverage in the fridge ready to crack open. We will be behind you every step of the way, cheering you on. Good luck. We cannot wait to watch. We cannot wait to be behind you. And yeah, when we next speak, Tokyo will be over, which is a mad thought when, you know, we've managed to get to this point. And there has been so many times where I think plenty of people thought, is it actually going to happen? But it is happening, listeners. And we hope you've enjoyed a real insight into what it has taken. So Jenny, Eric, a big thank you to you both. Good luck. Enjoy it. And I hope that when we get home in August, you will both be able to get a full night's sleep and take a deep breath, because you will have truly, truly earned it. But listeners, that is all we've got time for. Follow everything USEA on all of the social media channels. They'll be able to take you behind the scenes and give you a real insight as well. For now, that is all we've got time for. So that all that is left is for me to say good luck at the Olympic Games to Team USA. Jenny and Eric, we'll be thinking of you and wishing you on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the USEA official podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you. Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode.